Hello, everyone. This is Sue Marks reading today from the Catholic Telegraph for October 2019. This year is flying by. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Seek the Lord by Archbishop Dennis M. Schnur. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. We often think of May as the month of Mary, but October is also devoted to the Blessed Mary and the Rosary. On October 7, we celebrate the Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary. This memorial recalls the victory of Christian forces at the Battle of Lepanto in 1571, after Pope Pius V called for all of Europe to pray the Rosary for success. Mary was the perfect disciple of Christ. Reflecting on the decades of the Rosary in which she figures prominently can help us to see that she is also the perfect model for our own discipleship. The Annunciation. The angel Gabriel first meets Mary with the words that begin, "Hail Mary," then conveys God's special purpose for her. Despite her puzzlement at how this could be, her ultimate response is, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done to me according to your word," Luke 1:3-8. Accepting God's plan for us in a similar way is essential to discipleship. The Visitation. When Mary visits her cousin, she becomes a missionary disciple by taking Jesus, who is in her womb, to Elizabeth. She also performs an act of mercy here, for Elizabeth is also pregnant and needs help. Elizabeth greets her with the second sentence of the Hail Mary. Mary replies with the beautiful canticle known as the Magnificat. She thus deflects attention away from herself and toward God, as disciples should. The Nativity. After the shepherds recount the message they received from a group of angels that the Lord and Messiah has been born in Bethlehem, St. Luke records, "And Mary kept all these things, reflecting on them in her heart." Luke 2:19. Discipleship demands serious spiritual reflection as well as action. The Presentation. The Holy Family worshiped God and sought to do His will as members of a religious community. As faithful Jews, they follow that community's rituals and precepts. Disciples are not lone rangers. The Finding in the Temple. When Mary and Joseph find Jesus, he explains that he must be about his father's business, but they do not understand. Luke 2:50. Fortunately, understanding the mystery of God is not a requirement for discipleship. If it were, no human being would qualify. The Wedding Feast of Cana. This is the first of seven signs of Christ's identity in St. John's Gospel, and it is Mary who brings it about. She goes to Jesus with the problem. He responds that his hour has not come. Instead of pleading with him, she simply says to the servers, "Do whatever he tells you." Her trust in the Lord is absolute. The Crucifixion. St. John records that the mother of Jesus was standing by the cross. All disciples have a share in the cross, uniting our sufferings to those of Christ. The Assumption. Mary's assumption into heaven after her death is a special gift to her, preserving from corruption the body that was once a tabernacle for the unborn Jesus. At the same time, it is a sign of what is to come for all of us. Christians believe in the resurrection of the dead. In some mysterious way, our bodies and souls will be reunited at the end of time. The Crowning of Mary as Queen of Heaven. This is part of Mary's unique role as the Mother of God. However, God wants all of us disciples to be happy with Him in heaven forever. Hail Mary, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. This is the editor's note by Jessica Rinodo the heart and beauty of our growing faith. When I began as editor a few months ago, I met with Archbishop Schnur and asked him about his vision for the Catholic Telegraph. He gave me two directives. The paper should be an evangelization tool, and it should help the people of the Archdiocese feel like they are part of the Universal Church and the body of Christ, as well as the local Archdiocese. I've also heard Mike Schaefer, our Archdiocesan Director of Communications and Mission Promotion, speak often about the beauty, truth, and goodness of the Catholic faith. There is so much beauty that exists in the truth of her teachings and the hearts and faith of her people. And it's in that task of telling the stories of the faithful, of showcasing their faith in action, that I am continually reminded that the heart of the Catholic faith continues to live and grow. I have made a concerted effort to bring in the stories of the Catholic faithful from all parts of our Archdiocese to the Catholic Telegraph. In this issue, you will see stories from the greater metropolitan area of Cincinnati. Yes, but you'll also see stories from Osgood, from Dayton, from Sydney, and many more great cities. Our parishes, schools, and ministries across the entire region of Southwest Ohio now share their happenings in, out and about in the Archdiocese. We also have new columnists to help us as Catholics continue to learn, tackle the tough parts of daily living with faith, living our faith, and remind us of the joys and challenges of trusting God. I truly admire our writers who share their faith, knowledge, and experience with great joy and often tremendous courage. For it is certainly an act of bravery to step out on the public stage and for more than 135,000 Catholic households each month. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. 1 Corinthians 15:58. As the Catholic Telegraph strives to share the goodness of the Church and her people who have assembled and will continue to grow a team of phenomenal, faithful, and passionate writers. We have a host of amazing journalists who go out and get the stories of the faithful. They're the ones who do the interviews, help unearth the stories, find the hearts of the people, and bring those stories to you with well-placed words and thorough interviews. You can already read our columnist bios in the paper every month, but our reporters often go unrecognized. Who is laboring in the vineyard for the Catholic Telegraph and striving to bring you stories of the good news? See our list of writers below. Please pray for them, for our publisher, Archbishop Schnur, and for me, your editor, as we strive to share the good news and beauty, truth, and goodness of our faith and the Catholic faithful. Dominic Albano, our new director of digital engagement, also happens to be a fun and engaging writer. Check out his monthly column, The Catholic Spelunker, as well as his piece in this month's special section on choosing the right Catholic high school. Susie Bergman, our new Maria Stein-based journalist, covers people, events, and stories of hope in the northern part of the Archdiocese. Eileen Connolly, OSU, our longtime managing editor turned phenomenal reporter, continues to write wonderful stories for the paper each month. I'm so grateful to be able to continue working with Sister Eileen. Kenneth Craycraft. Ken's background as a lawyer and teacher of moral theology, paired with his ability to clearly explain difficult concepts, has made him a welcome addition to the Catholic Telegraph. Look for his new column, A Closer Look, and take a deeper dive into the teachings of the Catholic Church. Gail Fink, Gail of Sacred Heart Radio, has taken over the new Did You Know section of the paper and brings her vast and fun knowledge of Archdiocesan trivia to your home. Nicholas Hardesty. Nick works in the Archdiocesan Office of New Evangelization and strives to find ways to evangelize in the ordinariness of daily life. He shares his moments of faith-filled wisdom in his column, Seize the Moment. Patricia McGeever is a longtime reporter for the Catholic Telegraph, and we were grateful that she continues to dig in and get the stories. M.D. Pittman. M.D. is a new writer to the CT with a long history in both journalism and being a West Side Cincinnati Catholic. He's a pro at finding the stories in this archdiocese. Aaron Schoenberg. Aaron is another longtime writer for the CT who specializes in profile pieces and food-related stories. Katie Skiba. Katie is a joyful Catholic mother and a multiple Catholic Press award-winning columnist. She shares the joys and challenges of raising a Catholic family and offers practical tips for living our faith more intentionally at home. Rebecca Sontag. She is new to the CT, but a veteran Catholic writer. She's written for Catholic Charities of Southwestern Ohio, the Athenaeum of Ohio, other archdiocesan offices, and a number of other Catholic resources. John Stegeman. John is not new to the CT. He used to work in the main office, but now he tackles stories from afar. In addition to reporting, he also takes a closer look at issues that affect the inner workings of the church. And finally, Bob Wurzelbacher. He oversees the Archdiocesan Pro-Life Office, and he aims to address all aspects of living pro-life in his monthly column. He also hosts a monthly podcast where he covers a range of topics. Question of Faith by Father Dave Endress. A Catholic funeral for a non-Catholic? Most of my family is Catholic, but my father is not. He is in declining health, and he has asked if it would be possible for his funeral to take place in a Catholic church. Is this permitted? The church seeks to minister to families during times of illness and grief, including family members who are not Catholic. A funeral in a Catholic church for someone who is not Catholic may be possible. Depending on the circumstances, this could include a Mass for the deceased or funeral rites outside of Mass. Catechumens and children. If a person is a catechumen seeking to enter the church, they can be counted among the Christian faithful because of their desire to be joined to Christ and His church. By virtue of this desire, they are granted the prerogatives which are proper to Christians, including a Catholic funeral, Code of Canon Law 206. For the same reason, children born to Catholic parents whom the parents intended to baptize may be given a Catholic funeral. That's Canon 1183. Baptized Christians. However, the majority of non-Catholics who might ask to receive a Catholic funeral are neither catechumens nor unbaptized children. Non-Catholics may have a funeral in a Catholic church if they are a baptized Christian and their own minister is unavailable, Canon 1183. This could occur in the cause of someone who, because of physical distance, cannot seek out a minister of their denomination or even moral distance created by their not practicing the faith of their Christian community. In short, someone who desires a Catholic funeral can often receive one, but the wishes of the person should be respected. A funeral should not take place in a Catholic church if it would be contrary to the intention of the deceased. The funeral for a non-Catholic can include the various parts of the funeral rite, the vigil, the funeral liturgy with or without a Mass, depending on the circumstances, and the committal. The liturgies, if desired by the deceased and his or her family, should be carried out according to the norms of the church. If a funeral Mass is celebrated for a non-Catholic, for instance, the name of the deceased should not be included in the Eucharistic prayer, but their name can be used in the other prayers. the non-baptized. For a family member who is non-baptized, a priest or deacon could, if requested, offer prayers for the deceased in a funeral home. However, the church envisions the possibility of a Catholic funeral only for baptized Christians. Ill family members. For an ill family member who is not Catholic, he or she should be invited to consider the possibility of becoming Catholic. In many cases, the non-Catholic family member may have a Catholic spouse and or children and may have attended Mass for years. Even if a Catholic funeral can be arranged, please do not overlook the importance of receiving the Holy Eucharist, confirmation, and anointing of the sick. The Church, recognizing the importance of funerals for the deceased, as well as their family members, offers the consolation of its funeral rites. Catholic clergy, parish staff, and bereavement ministers can help families in making funeral arrangements for family members, even if the family member was not a practicing Catholic. And take note, 15th Annual Family Rosary Rally, Sunday, October 13th, 2019, Immaculate Conception Church, the address, 2300 South Smithville Road, Dayton, Ohio, previously held at UD Arena. Prelude music at 2 p.m., Adoration, Rosary, and Benediction at 2:30 p.m., Reverend Ryan Ruiz will be the celebrant. Remember, O gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thine intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee do I come. Before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despite my petitions, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer me. Amen. Catholic at Home by Katie Skiba. Go home and change the world. October is Respect Life Month, a celebration and call to arms compelling Catholics to renew their personal commitment to defend human life. From the USCCB. The idea itself brings to mind the unborn and those sentenced to death, as well as those who are dying. And while these are some of the most vulnerable, one particular group sits in our lives more constantly, yet more subtly. When we rally for the dignity of all lives, it's paramount to examine how well we offer that same respect to our own family members. In other words, how pro-life are we to those living under our very same roof? The family is the foundational unit of society, which means what happens at home between husbands and wives, and between us parents and our kids will make its way to the rest of the world. The culture cultivated in our families affects the world out there, whether we intend it or not. Interactions with strangers and even legislative movements stem from goings-on at home. Simply put, our regard for human dignity has to begin in the most intimate setting. Saint Teresa of Calcutta received the 1979 Nobel Peace Prize, and one reporter asked, "What can we do to promote world peace?" She responded, "Go home, love your family." It's such a simple idea, but one that asks greatness of us. Consider society's general attitude towards children. Often regarded as roadblocks to living life to the fullest, it is all too easy for children to hear over and over that they are inconvenient, an outlook that perpetuates itself when they grow up to have kids of their own. Respect in marriage can be an uphill battle, too, since the media tend to scoff at self-sacrifice in relationships. If we're not careful, these ideas can seep into our own attitudes, shifting our focus from others to self. The following are some ways to be pro-life with our families, to ensure that all people are respected at home and ultimately in the world. Number one, give generous attention. When it comes to showing someone that he or she matters, eye contact and an attentive car work miracles. Attentive ear, please, work miracles. From littlest kids to biggest breadwinners, everyone in the family has joys and sorrows. When we are intentional about making eye contact, touching, and listening, we let our favorite people know they're worth our time and attention. It is easier to be present when our phones are out of reach, and it's even easier to give hugs or kisses. Number two, pray as a family. We're made in the image and likeness of God and called to imitate Him. So being in touch with the author of life will help us do just that. Family prayer doesn't have to be fancy, formal, or long, just honest. Offer a decade of the rosary on the way to school. Read Sunday's gospel before bedtime. Make prayer part of your conversation. Prayer itself is an act of humility before the Lord, and respect will flow from a prayerful family. Number three, focus on your life's work. Our vocation as spouses and parents is the biggest, greatest work of our lives, divinely appointed. Though I have other charisms and callings from God, all else pales next to loving my husband and pursuing heaven with him and our kids. What would happen if we took a good, hard look at how we spend our time in order to chip away at what doesn't serve our families? Making more space for family underscores its inherent importance. If we want to change the whole world, if we want respect for human life to spread, it has to begin at home. It's good to go beyond our front doors to cater to those in need, but the challenge within the pro-life movement comes when we look through our own windows to the family member who needs more love, respect, and attention. Cultivating the respect for our family members will encourage respect for those we meet outside our homes, and by St. Teresa's insight, we will change the world. In profile, Christine and Todd Marallen, Marallen, Promoting Second Chances Through Damascus, by Eileen Connolly, OSU. Everyone deserves a second chance and the opportunity to discover God's purpose for them. Firm in this belief, Christine and Todd Marallen established a program called Damascus in 2015. Damascus helps previously incarcerated citizens return to life outside prison by helping them acquire and maintain gainful employment. It provides staffing to companies that will actively recruit and employ workers with a history in the criminal justice system. The program currently operates in 5 prisons: Lebanon, Warren, Dayton, Ross, and Madison Correctional Institutions. Christine brings a wealth of experience in working with the incarcerated to their ministry, including many years as the director of prison ministries for the Archdiocese, a role she left the summer of 2019 to devote more time to Damascus. Todd lends his business savvy and background in investment consulting and information technology to Damascus as its CEO and president. Unmet needs. The organization's name refers, of course, to Saul's conversion on the road to Damascus. Paul's story provides the basis for what we do, Christine explained. Everyone falls off their horse at some point and is blinded to their purpose. We all need someone bigger than us to help us recognize and live out our best selves. We saw a need that wasn't being met, she added, acknowledging that other reentry programs don't provide comprehensive services and support to returning citizens. And part of our mission as Catholics is to use our gifts to help others. Their relationship began with future workers, typically begins with men and women who are still incarcerated and within a year of release. After the application process, the men and women take part in a 10-week class with Damascus staff that focuses on topics such as all the areas of their lives that have tripped them up, their own biases, trauma, the five love languages, bridges out of poverty, and workplace etiquette, she said. It's really something to see these big, tough guys especially suddenly realize so many things that severely impacted their lives, says Todd. The end result is not excuses, it's ownership. It's a judgment-free zone, Christine added. We want them to know that they're worthy, that they have permission to forgive themselves. But none of this is a free pass. It is an awakening. The last assignment before graduation is to create a life plan outlining their goals and plan for success. Program growth. Approximately 400 people have taken part since the classes began in February. Support from Damascus continues after release as client account representatives help workers navigate the barriers to success from transportation to child care and access their ability to work. Damascus operates as a staffing agency, providing 24/7 support for workers and clients. Most positions are on a temp to hire basis. As long as the client is happy with the individual's work, they typically transfer the worker to the client's payroll after 3 to 6 months on the job. We understand that this is a leap of faith for employers, and we value their trust, Todd said. We take it off their plate to handle any issues. In her role as a recruiting specialist, Shelley Castanelli Scott worked with Damascus to fill a number of positions at her previous employer. They were fantastic to work with, very flexible, and were great about making sure we were comfortable with the process, she said. They opened up more of a talent pool for us, and we gained local hardworking individuals as a result. Derek McElroy, who spent 2 years in the prison, is grateful for the opportunity and support Damascus has provided. For someone to come along, give you a chance, and believe in your success is a big thing, he said. We had the chance to think about the bad decisions we made, focus on how to see things coming, and learn to make better choices. Damascus had a job waiting for McElroy when he was ready. They made the transition a lot easier and took the stressors off so I could start living on my own. I was able to save money, buy a car, and later found a job myself with a commercial construction company. Now I'm engaged in the process of buying a house. These are things I wouldn't have imagined a few years ago. I seriously doubt I would have come this far without Damascus. Mike Carr, Director of Community Engagement for Damascus, served a 2-year prison sentence. As he confronted his own errors during rehabilitative programming, Carr became aware of other men who had made mistakes and were willing to be held accountable and deserving of a second chance. His current ministry is particularly meaningful as Damascus continues to expand, he said. We really have a tremendous impact on the the lives of returning citizens and the local community. I really admire what Christine and I and Todd are doing and feel blessed to be a part of it. For more information, please visit www.teamdamascus.org. And already our time is up. I'm so sorry. Please, everyone, enjoy what I think is going to be fall weather, finally. And have a blessed week. This is Sue Marks with the Catholic Telegraph from the Association for the Blind and Visually Impaired. Thank you so much for listening. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.